Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started talking about weeks ago, talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. I tell you, this is one of my favorite things to teach on. And we have a new book. Actually, it's not a new book. It's the same old book, but it's a re-release of it. It used to be in hardback, and it had my picture on the front, which I did under protest. But now we have put it out in paperback, and it's minus my picture. And I think it's improved the book tremendously. But the content is the same, and it is just a great teaching. This is something that the Lord used to totally change my life. And hopefully, if you've been listening to our television broadcast, this has changed you too. I tell you, if what I've been saying, if you've watched all of these programs, and if what I've been teaching for the last 4 weeks hasn't impacted your life, if it didn't light your fire, your wood is wet. Amen. I really believe that. This is a life-transforming teaching. This has changed my life. And the last 3 days, I think it was the last 2 days of last week and then yesterday's program, I was talking about the Sabbath rest. And I started this from Hebrews chapter 4. I went back to Genesis chapter 1 and showed this. He talked in Hebrews chapter 4 about a relationship with God where you are resting. This isn't talking about being inactive. It isn't talking about laying down and everything just works automatically. Matter of fact, he even says that you have to labor to enter into this rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. And so this isn't talking about laying down and being lazy and doing nothing. It's talking about a relationship where you, by faith, are resting in God having already provided everything through grace, that Jesus has anticipated every need that you'll ever have. All of your sicknesses have already been dealt with. All of your financial pressures have already been dealt with. You're already blessed with all spiritual blessings, that everything is done. And you just rest in that. You don't get to where you take the responsibility and the burden of producing things on yourself, but you rest in the Lord. You know, I was talking to some friends just yesterday, and then again this morning. I'm not going to mention names, but there is a very big, well-known ministry right here in Colorado Springs that has, I forget the exact details, but it was millions of dollars shortfall, and they are in trouble and had to send out a desperate letter asking people to help them and keep the ministry afloat. And because of that, it made the news here in Colorado Springs, and people are talking about it. And just yesterday, I was talking to my staff that we are just, I mean, blessed. Since the quote-unquote recession hit the United States, did you know that our income has more than doubled? We are just blessed. We are prospering. God is blessing everything. And so I was talking to some of my staff about it, and they were, you know, in a sense, like, what are you doing? What is it? And there's not anything I'm doing except resting in the Lord. When this recession hit, did you know that many of these ministries, this ministry that I'm referring to, actually laid off around 15 to 20% of their staff in anticipation of a decrease in revenue? There hadn't been any decrease yet, but they anticipated it. They were looking at things like they were only a business, like any other business, and if there's a downturn, all of these things. The way we responded was that God is going to supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's not the U.S. economy. It's His riches in glory. And we made a stand of faith. We begin to expand. We are blessed, blessed, blessed. You know what the difference is? It's not my great intellect. I think most of you are probably agreeing with me right now, amen. It's not my charisma. It's not any of these things. You know what I'm really good at? Resting in the Lord and just holding on to Him. As a matter of fact, again, I was just describing this and talking to a good friend about this, and the only way I can describe it is I haven't scratched and clawed my way to where we are reaching half of the world's population now with our television program. I haven't made this happen by my great wisdom and my abilities. You know, the only thing I've done, I've just clung on to the Lord. I have rested in Him. And every time situations come that look like we can't make it, every time something happens that could distress me and take my attention away from the Lord and put me on the problem, and every time all of these things that every one of us have come against us, you know what I'm really good at? And that's I just rest in the Lord. I've learned how to cast my care over on Him. And that's what Hebrews chapter 4 is describing, is that there is a place that you can reach to where you just know that God loves you so much that even before you have a problem, God has already created the solution. And when something happens, instead of accepting the worry, the fear, the stress, you just rest in the Lord. You actually start rejoicing and praising Him. There is peace in your life instead of stress. And by the grace of God, the Lord revealed these things to me. And honestly, this is a strong point in my life. That's the reason I'm so excited about sharing this with you. It's not just for me. This is for every born-again person. Any person who has made Jesus their Lord, you can enter into a place where you understand that by grace, God has provided everything. There is nothing you will ever encounter, no need you will ever have that is going to overwhelm the grace of God. And the only thing you got to do is just cling on to the Lord. You got to stay in that position of peace. And it takes effort. You have to labor to enter into that rest. You know, some of you that may not understand exactly what I'm talking about, this may sound like contradictory. Like, again, it sounds weird to say that you have to work at resting. But it is great effort. There have been times that my faith has been tried so hard that, I mean, it just looked like absolute disaster. And I can talk about that in the physical, my physical health, the health of other people. I can talk about it in the ministry, the end of the ministry. I actually had my board tell me, turn out the lights. We're going to shut the ministry down. You're bankrupt. Forget it. That was many, many years ago. Relationships, I could go on and on and give a lot of different things. But there have been times that it just looked like I had to be stressed out. I had to suffer. And because of it, I mean, I have just stuck my nose in the Word sometimes and forced myself to put my mind on the Lord. I have actually prayed in tongues at the top of my lungs to make my mind focus on the Lord instead of focus on all of the negative things that are coming against me. I have had to labor to rest. I have had to work to get into a place to where, you know, here we have a ministry that it takes me at least $2 million a month to pay my bills, and we give all of our stuff away. Now, we will say that a thing is worth so much, we suggest a donation because people want to know what is it that you need. So we make a suggested donation. But we have the majority, over 50% of all of the people that contact us for our products don't give a thing, and we send the materials out. How do you do that? How do you have a $2 million per month budget, make your things available to people on a suggested donation? Half the people don't give a thing, and you're just prospering hand over fist. You know, there isn't an explanation. I can't tell you. It's just God. And the only thing that I've really done is I have labored to rest and to just trust God and to stay close, to follow His leading, to do what He's told me to do. You know, in a sense, it's like I've got a grip on Jesus and I'm holding on for dear life, and the Lord is just doing things in my life and in this ministry that are counter to every other ministry that I'm aware of. I was just with one of my very good friends who pastors a large church, and they have just been holding steady the last 2 years, and they are thrilled with that. And because they have their building paid off and stuff, they're making it, but there hasn't been any increase. I honestly, now I'm sure that there are churches and ministries that are prospering, but I honestly don't know of any. Every ministry, every church that I'm aware of has struggled, and yet we are experiencing the greatest growth that we've ever had. The blessings of God are on us, and I don't think it's accidental. I don't think that we're just an anomaly. I think it's because I did not let this recession get on the inside of me. I did not anticipate failure. I held on. I stayed in a place of rest. Man, I pray that you're listening to what I'm saying. I'm using a personal example, but really it's not about me. This is for anybody. If you would rest in the Lord, when they say that, you know, this is the end of our civilization as we know it, Paul lived in a situation where he didn't have a country like the United States that had freedoms, and we're seeing a lot of our freedoms erode, and I understand people talking about the direction we're headed is not good and all of that, but you know what? It's not going to get my peace. I'm not going to get out of rest. Paul was in a situation much worse than mine. The Roman emperor actually proclaimed himself as God. Slavery was the rule of the day. There were terrible atrocities being done. It was just terrible. I mean, compared to where we are, we live in the Garden of Eden compared to the political situation in Paul's day. And yet Paul was rejoicing and he was successful and he was able to overcome. He was put in prison, but God delivered him out of all of it. And if Paul could prosper under a situation like that, I can prosper regardless of what's going on. And does that mean that I'm indifferent? No, I'm praying and I'm doing things to affect our culture and to deal with things. I believe that the gospel can sanctify and save the United States and our Western civilization from collapse, which is where it's going in the natural. And so I'm doing things about it. But you know what? I am going to prosper. I don't care what happens. And I know some of you think that that is too optimistic and stuff. But see, that's where I live. I believe that God, by grace, knew exactly the time I would live in. He knew all of the things that would be going on in the world. And before the problem ever existed, God had provided a way for me to have a relationship with Him, to prosper, to fulfill what He's called me to do. And I'm resting in that. And because of it, I'm not terrified and I'm not worried and I'm not stressed out. And I would highly recommend it. Well, that's powerful. I just pray that God is opening up your heart. I know that many of us intellectually embrace the things I'm talking about, but in a practical sense, we live a life stressed out and worried. The Bible says, Isaiah 26:3, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him because he trusts in Him. If you aren't having perfect peace, it is not what's going on in the world. It's not what's going on in your marriage. It's not what's going on in your finances. It's not what's going on all around you that's the problem. It's the way you are thinking, and you aren't resting in the Lord. Either you haven't seen this truth that God, by grace, has already anticipated and supplied every need that you'll ever have. You either haven't seen it, or if you've seen it, you aren't resting in that. You aren't appropriating it by faith. And it takes effort. You have to labor to enter into a place to where you don't let all of these natural things going on turn your heart away from the Lord. It takes effort. Praise God. But it's well worth the effort. So again, Hebrews chapter 4 compared this to a Sabbath rest. Let me turn over to Colossians and just share some scriptures with you here out of Colossians. I wished I had time to put all of this in its context, but I recently taught about what is called the triumphant procession in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 15. And this is talking about how that Jesus just literally made a show of the devil. He stripped him naked. He cut off all of his power and paraded him through the pages of Scripture as a defeated foe. And yet there's many Christians today being intimidated by the devil because they missed the parade. They haven't been in the Word. They have been listening to wrong things that actually has glorified and amplified the devil's power, and it's inaccurate. And so anyway, that's the context of all of this. And then in verse 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. There are five things listed in this 16th verse. And it says, don't let anybody judge you. And again, if you were to take this in its context, it's talking about the body of Christ and relating to one another, coming out from under legalism, that we no longer are under the law. We are now free in Christ. So don't let anybody judge you in these things. And verse 17 says, they are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, all five of these things that were listed in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, were things that were commanded in the Old Testament scriptures. There were meat restrictions on certain meats that you could eat and others that you couldn't eat. There was restrictions on what you drank. There was restrictions on the new moon and all of these things, and about the Sabbath. There were laws concerning these, and yet verse 17 says that they were all a shadow of something that was to come, but the body is of Christ. And Paul here is making the point that there was a purpose for all of these rules and restrictions in the Old Testament because we didn't have Christ. We didn't have the atonement of Jesus. The grace of God had not been poured out upon the world. And so there was a place for this, for these rituals and these legalistic things. But as you go on and read here, and there's many other scriptures in the New Testament, this has now been fulfilled in Christ. And if a person is living by these Old Testament rituals and laws, they are missing the New Testament reality of Christ. Now, that's a strong statement right there, and there's many people that will be offended at that, but it's the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. Look at it this way. It says that these things were a type and a shadow of Christ. Imagine that standing in between you and me, if we were here facing each other, and in between us there was a corner of a building like this, and you were on one side of the building and I was on the other side. If you couldn't see me, but if there was a light behind me and you could see my shadow, did you know that that shadow would give you a lot of useful information about me? It could tell you whether I was standing still. It could tell you if I was moving away from you and going the other direction. It would tell you if I was moving towards you and coming around the corner. It could tell you whether I was carrying a club or whether I had my arms out to greet you. It could tell you if I was by myself or somebody else. You could learn a lot by looking at a shadow if you can't see the person. But if I was to walk around the corner of the building and if I was in plain sight and you could see me, we would think it absolutely crazy if a person walked over to the shadow and now touched it and tried to shake hands with the shadow or tried to embrace the shadow. The shadow is only of use if you can't see the person. But once the person comes, forget the shadow. That's the point that's being made. And did you know that many New Testament Christians, in a sense, are still trying to have a relationship with the shadow? These things that were types and shadows of something that was going to be a New Testament reality. And so it lists five things in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, let no man judge you in meat. That's dietary laws. Or in drink. There were laws about what you could drink, how much you could drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. And all of those things were only shadows of the reality that was to come in the body of Christ. Now, let's go back over this and look at it, because most people have understood that the Old Testament dietary laws were shadows of a New Testament reality. What did they shadow? Basically, it just showed, you know, the New Testament says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all to the glory of God. It says, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. And in the Old Testament, rather than give this New Testament command, it just gave laws that you can eat this, you can't eat pork, you can't eat shellfish, you can't eat these kind of things. And it had these laws. But it wasn't the law that was so important. It was what it was picturing. It was picturing that you ought to be separated unto God, not only in things concerning holiness, but in your action. You ought to do everything in moderation. You know, let me say some things. I know people will take offense at this. I'm not meaning to offend. I'm just trying to explain what this was all about. Obesity does not glorify God. This body's supposed to be a temple of the Lord. We're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to do things in moderation. Obesity does not glorify God. It shows a person who is not controlling themselves. The only way you get obese is to eat more than your body needs more often than it needs it. That's it. People can say, oh, well, I need to exercise more. Well, if you aren't exercising right, you can cut back on your food and you still won't be obese. I'm just saying that, you know what, a person who is obese is a person who is not glorifying God and not controlling that part of your life. And the Lord didn't want us to just have a spiritual side over here where we do things spiritually and emotionally and we take care of that, and then the physical body just goes to pot. No, the Lord wants us to take care of ourselves. So there were dietary laws. Now, you've had people in the New Covenant, in our day and time, come along and they say that the reason God gave all of these dietary laws was so that they were for health reasons and it was to keep us healthy. And so today you have all kinds of diets based on the Old Testament dietary laws that come out and say, this is the way God wants us to eat. And yet in the New Testament, let me read a passage to you in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means that there's no confusion on this. Some things it might take a little bit of interpretation. This is clear. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And here's what the doctrines of devils say, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry. There's entire denominations that forbid their ministers, their priests to marry. That is a doctrine of the devil. I know many of you think that that's being me. I'm just repeating Scripture. It's a doctrine of the devil to command a person not to marry. And the next thing it says, in commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Therefore, anybody who teaches you that you can't eat pork because that was against the Old Testament dietary laws, then they are preaching a doctrine of the devil. What was at one time a law that was given by God has been fulfilled in Christ. It was not the actual animal that was bad. It wasn't for health reasons. It was to show us that we needed to glorify God. And it is now a doctrine of the devil if somebody comes along preaching the Old Testament dietary laws and saying, this is the way you must eat in order to be healthy, etc. That's a doctrine of the devil. I'm out of time today. Man, I'll be on this again tomorrow. You need to tune in so that you can hear me explain my way out of this. Amen. So listen to our announcer and then please call or write and receive these materials.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Entering the Rest, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Warwick, England this week for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Karis Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Walk in that healing. Because I tell you, people need to know that the Lord wasn't pleased.
This Bible teacher started with the simple message of God's unconditional love and grace. For years, he and his wife duplicated teaching tapes in their own home. He went on radio and often gave his teachings away to those who asked for them. Years later, a small building was needed to house a few volunteers and employees. The ministry grew until it was bursting at the seams. Soon, the next 15,000 square foot building became too small as a Bible college and television ministry were launched. Today, a 110,000 square foot building is running out of room. 157 acres have been purchased to accommodate the growth, but the message remains the same. It's the gospel truth. Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles, and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.